Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We left off our previous shiur in the middle of a discussion. We had a machlokes between Barpado and Ula regarding someone who had sanctified some saplings, and if the term of the sanctification was ad shiiktsu, so the Mishnah said they don't have pidyon. Barpado mentioned that if a person were to be poda them, were to attempt to redeem them, they would become re-sanctified until they were cut. Once they would be cut, so you have to redeem them once again, and then they are free of any sanctity. Ula, on the other hand, said, once they are cut, they do not need any further redemption. So we're picking up now on that point at the top line of Daf Choftes. You'll notice we have a triangle, and on the side we have a mivne, a structural note, where we note that the triangle represents a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. We are going to be starting with Kushos al Ula, V'haboim l'hogein olav, questions on Ula's approach and anyone that tries to defend that approach. The inverted triangle is a represents tshuvos, responses. You'll note it. You might want to note that Rashi on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis at the top of the Amud says that by the end of this give and take discussion, there will remain a question on Ula's approach without any answer. So, that having been said, we will note also the no say the topic heading Lefi Ula. According to Ula, Kedushas Domim Poka Bichdi, the sanctity which is referred to as Kedushas Domim, the value sanctity that was imposed upon these plants, is capable of departing Bichti without any action. It's just an automatic departure. As we saw, once the saplings were cut, there's no need to redeem them. In other words, you have plants that had sanctity, and because the expression was they're sanctified until they're cut, at the point that they're cut, the sanctity disappears. That's the idea of poka b'chdi. It ceases without any further redemption. Lefi Rava Shemazbiras Ula, according to Rava, who will appear in our Gemara, who comes to explain Ula, Kedushas Domim Poka Bechdi, sanctity that's value sanctity as opposed to inherent sanctity, that in fact departs without any further redemption, and Kedushas Aguf Lo Poka Bechdi. However, something that's vested with inherent sanctity, that's a sanctity that's characteristic of animals that are sanctified to be offered on the altar. Kedushas Haguf, that is lo pocha bichti, that does not cease with naught. Something has to be done, further a redemption must be done. Lafi Abaye, we'll see in the course of the Gemara, according to Abaye, gam Kedushas Haguf pocha bichti. In other words, Abaye takes issue with Rava. So the back and forth discussion, you'll see, continues between Abaye and Rava. Now, the Gemara, the top line. Omar le Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna says to Ula, who said that once the saplings are cut, no further need for redemption. So Rav Hamnuna asks, Kedusha Shebohen Lehechan Hocha, where did the Kedusha go? How does something go to commonality, to Hulin, without any redemption? Uma ilu omar le'isham, and he embellishes his question with an analogy to a woman and marriage. Imagine a man would say to a woman, Hayom at ishti, ulamochar I at ishti. A man would offer marriage to a woman, give her money, and declare, today you're my wife, and tomorrow you're not my wife. Minafka below get, would she become a single woman without a divorce document? You need to do something. Once a woman is married, she doesn't just automatically become unmarried because you said so. So too, with the plants, even though you cut them, they shouldn't go to commonness, meaning the mundane, departing from sanctity without any redemption. Omar Le Rava. Rava answers Rav Hamnuna. You're trying to make your point with the case of the woman and the marriage. Mikom edamis kedushas domim lekedushas aguf. How can you compare the plants, which don't have inherent sanctity, to something that has inherent sanctity? A married woman, we call marriage, using the word kiddushin, it's a form of sanctity. Without getting into all of the philosophy behind that, let it suffice to say that the woman, when married, achieves a level of sanctity that we would say is inherent. She is an ashes ish, which is a way of defining her inherently. Kedushas domin poka bichdi. The thing vested with simple value sanctity, namely the value of the item, is sanctified, and that money would be given to the Beis HaMikdash. Something that has value sanctity, like the plants, that departs bichdi, with nothing. Kedushas haguf lo poka bichdi, something that's vested with inherent sanctity, does not cease with nothing. Something has to be done. If it's a sacrifice, it doesn't lose its kedusha unless it develops a blemish, and then it needs to be redeemed. The woman, when she is married, she needs to be divorced if you want to change her status with a formal divorce document. So that was Rava's response to Rav Hamnuna, which in effect was a defense of Ula. Omer le Abaye, Ukedushas haguf lo poka bichdi. Now Abaye comes with a question to Rava. According to what you're saying, Kedushas haguf, that needs to be redeemed, or that needs something. It doesn't depart automatically. So is that really so, that Kedushas haguf doesn't depart automatically? V'hatanya. We have a Tanaic source. We're going to refer to this as the Reisha. A person says, Shor ze oila kol shloshim yoim, uleachar shloshim yoim shlomim. I declare this animal, a shor, as an ox, an ola sacrifice for 30 days. Namely, if that I bring it within 30 days, it will be brought as an ola sacrifice. That's a type of sacrifice that's completely burnt on the mizbeach after it's been skinned. If I bring it beyond 30 days, it shall be brought as a shlomim. The result of his declaration is, kol shloshim yoim oila, li'achar shloshim yoim shlomim. If brought within the first 30 days, as we said, it will be brought as an ola, and if not, it automatically transfers to a shlomim. V'amai, well, how does that work? Kedushas haguf ninhu upoka bichdi, it had inherent ola sanctity, and it ceased automatically becoming a shlomim. So Abaye shows Rava that even kedushas haguf can poka bichdi. The response to that is hocha b'mayaskinon. The case of the sacrifices, the ola shlomim deal, where it seemed that it was poka bichdi, the Omar le domi. the sanctification that was imposed was not an inherent sanctity at all. It was a value sanctity. The Rosh commentary, you'll notice in the first wide line of the Rosh commentary, Hochinami Damar Ledomi, Damar Shorze Kodosh Limocher Lohavi Bedom of Oila. I'm sanctifying this ox to bring with its value. In other words, I'm going to sell the ox and use the money to bring an olav. Lo nimkar toch shloshim, if not sold within 30 days, achar shloshim imoch v'ovi b'dom of shlomim. Then let it sail, yield money that I'll bring with it. Bring with the cash, I'll purchase an animal for as a shlomim. K'dishas dom impokol liachar shloshim yom. That which has value sanctity can expire after 30 days. And become, in this case, something else. The Gemara asks, "Well, if Rava's response is correct, then ihafi emo seifa." Now, there's a question that we see here continues down a number of lines down Omid Beis, as you can see, we've marked it. So he says, "Then state the seifa liachar shloshim yoim oyla umeachshav shlomim." After 30 days, I declare it to be an Ola, and from now, up till 30 days, a Shlomim. That's the second part of the Tanaic source. So, Iyamris Bishlomo, and by the way, you know, if he says that, it will take hold. So, Iyamris Bishlomo, Chada B'gdishas Aguva, Chada B'gdishas Domim. If you say that, we just saw two examples, and one of them is an example of Kedushas HaGuf, changing automatically, which we call Poka Bechdi, V'chado B'Kedushas Dom, and the other one represents a case of monetary value, monetary sanctity. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Hainut Itzdrich Lei Latano Lemisno Tarti. I need the Tana to cite two examples. Salka, the Salka Daita Chamino, had I had only one example, I would have thought Kedushas Domin Poka Bechdi, Kedushas Haguf Lo Poka Bechdi, that only something that has value sanctity can expire Bechdi without any further redemption. But Kedushas Haguf could not expire thusly. Amtu lohachi, therefore, Tana Tarti. The Tana teaches two examples to teach that even Kedushas Aguf is Poka Bechdi, like Abaye wanted to claim. Elohi Amris, Idi Vidi, Kedushas Domim. If you will, however, say, like Rava wants to maintain, that both are referring to Kedushas Domim, Loma Li Lemisno Tarti. Why teach two examples of the same thing, when in fact one of the examples would have certainly been enough? Hashto yesh lomar mikedusha chamura likedusha kalopoka. The case of the ratio where something started with a higher level of kedusha, the ola is a higher level sanctity than a shlomim, and we saw the ola sanctity expiring and turning into shlomim, and if that is effective, so Mikedusha kalo lekedusha chamura tzricho lememar, from a case like the Seifa, where you're going from a low level kedusha into a higher level of kedusha, do I need to be taught that that can happen? Certainly that would be obvious. So with this in mind, we basically are attacking. We've, as you can see from the way we've marked the Gemara, we have attacked Rava's approach. We mentioned at the beginning of this sugya that we were going to be left with a refutation, we'll say, of Ula. We have to modify what we said, but all of this is based on the Rashi commentary, and that is that with the refutation of Rava, Rava came to interpret Ula. Rava came to say that Ula mentioned that Kedushas Domim is Poka Bechdi and not Kedusha Saguf. So Rava made that distinction and imposed that on Ula. Here we see that that distinction is difficult to maintain. But rather, even Kedusha Saguf is Poka Bechdi, which is something that Rava had said Ula would not agree with. Now, to justify our commentary, we look at the Rashi, fourth line from the top, Mikedusha Kala Kloimar, Shlomim de Kala, the Kedushas Oila, Chi Chamura Mibaya. If I tell you something goes from Ola to Shlomim, so certainly to go from Shlomim up to Ola, which is more stringent, do I need to be told that that would be effective? Certainly. It's obvious. It would be obvious. So why do I have to teach two cases? Elolav, chad l'kedushas haguf, chad l'kedushas domim. The travayu paki, both forms of sanctity can expire without any further action. Utiyufta de ula, veleka piruka. And you can see Rashi says this is a refutation then of ula. But again, it seems from the flow of the Gemara, it's a refutation of Ula as Rava had interpreted him. Now, the Gemara continues. Lema teve tyufta de bar pada, diomar lo poka pe kedusha bichdi. If you recall, the end of our previous shiur, we saw bar pada, the end of daf, chof, chesom, and beis. Bar Pada said regarding those netios that had been sanctified until they are cut, once they are cut, Bar Pada says you need to redeem them again, and that is enough. Ah, but he required a further redemption, and all we were dealing there was with simple Kedushas Domim. So our sources with the Ola and the Shlomim would seem to be a refutation, a strong refutation of Bar Pada. So, should we say that we have a tiyufta, a refutation by the Omar Lopok of Kedusha Bichdi? According to Bar Pada, Kedusha does not expire Bichdi for naught. Omar Rav Popa. Omar Loch Bar Pada. Hochi Ko'omar. I think we should note that Rashi has a what seems to be a different girsa in the Gemara. But if you read the Rashi girsa and continue with the Rashi commentary, the Gemara will be a little more clear. So at this point, we have a little star that focuses your attention on the Rashi. Rashi says that Rav Papa tells you that Bar Pada would say, Chisure mechasre vahochi kotoni. There is the source that we read was left deliberately abbreviated, and it's to be understood thusly. Ha'oimer, and we're reading in the Rashi, Ha'oimer shor ze oila kol shloishim yoim, ume'achshav li'achar shloishim yoim shlomim. Person declares an animal to be an ola for 30 days, and from now, after 30 days, a shlomim. The result is called shloshim oila, liachar shloshim yom shlomim. The hail viomar me'achshav, since he inserted into his language, into his statement, that key word, me'achshav, chal ole shem shlomim me'achshav. The title of shlomim, the name shlomim, sets upon this ox from right now. Of course, in potential, but there's a we'll call it a shlomim reality that exists right now. Mishum hachi, have shlomim lachar shloshim yoim, and therefore after 30 days, that reality can manifest itself. The kedushas haguf poka behachi bichti. In this fashion, kedushas haguf can expire with nothing further. Hoyel v'yomer me'achshav. Because he inserted that key word, Avol im loy omar me'achshav shlomim lachar shloshim yoim. If he doesn't say me'achshav, then oila have afilu lachar shloshim yom. Tahasam lo pokav degushas haguf bichti. If he doesn't add that me'achshov term, then once you say that you want something to be an ola for the first 30 days and afterwards a shlomim, it won't become a shlomim afterwards. So now we turn back to the Gemara, where Bar Pada had made this point, and now there's the Gemara adds, using the Gemara text, Hochi ko'omar, imlo omar me'achshov shlomim li'achar shloshim yoim oila. If he doesn't say that, as we saw in the Rashi, me'achshov shlomim and li'achar shloshim yoim, then oila have, it will be an ola. Midi dehave, similar to someone that says to a woman, Ha'im Elisha, Hiskashi li le'achar shloshim yoim, be mekudeshes to me after 30 days. In other words, he gives her money now and says, be mekudeshes to me after 30 days. De mekudeshes, v'afapi, shenis aklu hamois. She is married, even though the money is no longer there after the 30 days. So too, with regard to the Ola, if he doesn't say, Me'achshov Shlomim, the fact that he says, let it be an Ola now, the Ola title will remain on it even beyond the 30 days. Just like in the case of the marriage, the woman is married even though the marriage money is no longer there. We look at the Rashi, the Mekudeshes, Li'achar Shloshim Yoim, Dechi Lo Omar Me'achshov Damyo, that the case that we just saw is like someone that says to someone regarding the korban, said, I want it to be an Ola now, and afterwards a Shlomim, without saying me'achshav, it's dam yolaha, it's comparable to this case. Take this money and be married to me after 30 days. The mikudesh is lachar shloshim yom. She's married to him after the 30 days. The afal gavnis aklu hamoishul kiddushin sheina ba'olam havi mikudesh is lachar shloshim yom. Even though the marriage money that enables the kiddushin to take place is no longer around after the 30 days. Hachinami ki lo omar me'achshav. So too with our korbanos, if he doesn't say from now, afal gav de holchu lahach shloshim yoim shel oila, even though the 30 days of the oila is no longer here, hashtonami oila have. V'seifa de katoni li'achar shloshim yoim oila. The Sefer of the Tanaic sources that we saw that says after 30 days let it be an olah, and from right now it is a shlomim. The achar shloshim yom have oilo poka kedusha shlomim. In that case, after 30 days, it becomes an olah, and the kedusha shlomim that was there initially departs. Afagav the lo omar me'achshav, even though he didn't say regarding the ola the term me'achshav, hasam mishum de kodem v'omar bereishal achar shloshim yom ola. That's because at the beginning of his statement, he said after 30 days it should be an ola. That was the opening statement. The kevon she iskir ola tchilo nase koymer me'achshav. Since he mentioned ola at the very outset, it's as if he used the term me'achshav. Hilkoch li'achar shloshim yom ola have. V'hochahu mishum domar me'achshav poka kedusha b'travayu. And Bar Pada is telling us, and this is the main point, that in these cases, if you use the word me'achshav, then in both situations, the ola first and shlomim, or shlomim first and ola, the kedusha will expire. Bein kedushas domim, bein kedushas aguf, avol be'alma, afil kedushas domim, lo poka bichti. But in general, without inserting that key expression, even monetary or value sanctity does not depart automatically. V'lo kasha l'bar pada, and there is no difficulty with regard to bar pada. Utiyufta diulo kidekaimo kaimo, and the refutation of ula that we mentioned before remains. Ula, who had said that kedusha is poka b'chdi. Bar pada is telling you kedusha is not poka b'chdi. Unless you insert the term me'achshav. I just want to just reiterate a detail. When we say the tiyufta against Ula remains, this is the tiyufta as far as the way that Rava had explained Ula, wherein, according to Ula, only Kedushas Domim is Poka Bechdi, but Kedushas Aguf is not Poka Bechdi. Now we go back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Pshita. Now in order to appreciate this question, once again, we have to refer to the Rashi and emphasize that, if you recall, we inserted a girsa that you didn't see in the Gemara text. And with that insertion, you'll be able to appreciate this question. The Rashi, Pshita, Klomar. Notice the word Klomar, when that appears in Rashi, it means that we're not dealing with simple translation of Gemara, but we have an added explanation. The Kevon de Mechasris Lemasnisin, the Tiratsta, the Hochi Koomar, and this is the reference we made to the Chisure Mechsuro text that Rashi had, since we had to add to the understanding of the original Tanaic sources and explain the Ochikoma that it means thusly. Shor ze oilo kol shloshim yom ume achshav leacha shloshim yom shlomim. Diacha di leacha shloshim yom shlomahavi. Once you did that to the text, the lomo li lemei marshuv the Ochikoma, and here is the point at which the Gemara text kicks in, the Gemara text says, we have it printed, why was it necessary then to further say, Im lo omar me'achshav v'chule, and if he doesn't say me'achshav shlomim, then, if he doesn't say me'achshav shlomim lachar shloshim yom, then it will remain an ola. Is that not obvious? Pshita. The cave on the omar tzorech l'meimar me'achshav, since you told me that in order to have the latter kedusha kicking in, you have to insert the word me'achshav. Memelo yodana, I would know on my own. Dim lo amar me'achshav, if he doesn't use that key expression, dim lo amar me'achshav lachar shloshim yom shlomim haveyola. So this pshita question is directed at what we saw in the Gemara, where it said hochi ka'omar, where we have the star. That Hochi Koma line is seemingly obvious. Now, let me just repeat this, because it's the difficulty of this piece of Gemara is because the key element is really not in our Gemara text, but we try to do it by inserting the Chisuri Mechasra, as Rav Papa said, that the original Tanaic source has to be understood with the inserted me'achshav, and once you understand the source with the insertion of me'achshav, it's obvious then that if you don't insert the me'achshav clause or the me'achshav expression, that the first kedusha will continue even after the 30 days. So what's the point of spelling that out? The Gemara answers, loy tzricha de hodar bay. What this is referring to is where a person would say that I want it to be for 30 days in Ola, and then after 30 days, a shlomim me'achshav. He puts the word me'achshav at the end. What we're telling you here is that if you do that, it won't work. And we, in order to see this, we look in the Rashi once again. Tritz lo tzricha ihodar bei dihave kotoni kideko amris. If the Tanaic source would have been as you said, the leachar shomar shor ze oila kol shloshim yom, leachar shloshim yom shlomim, Havi Oila. Notice, if he declares it an Ola for 30 days, then after 30 days, Ashlamim. Now there's no Me'afshav here. It's an Ola. And here, the Gemara is adding, Afal Gav, the Hashta Hodar Bev Yomer Me'afshav, even if he were to insert the Me'afshav now, Hayel Ume'ikara Kishomar Kol Shloshim Yom Ola, Lo Amar Me'afshav Kodim Shomar Li'achar Shloshim Yom Shlamim, since he didn't insert the Me'afshav expression before the reference to the post 30 day Shlamim, for Lo Klum Komar, and it's an ineffective. V'afilu li'achar shloshim yom oila havei. In there, and in that case, it will remain an ola even after 30 days. The hal kamash malon. It's the following that we're being taught. The davka bo'inon shiomer b'tchila me'achshav. The text has to be very precise. You can say, I want it to be an ola for 30 days, and now, and me'achshav, Li'achas shloshim yom shlamim. That's what Rashi says. They have to say first. Me'asim kaidim shem li'achas shloshim yom shlamim. Kiri al komar li'el. So that the Gemara is being very very precise in position, the positioning of the word me'ashav, and not just any insertion wherever you like would make it effective. Just a couple moments ago, we saw in the Gemara Rav Papa explaining Bar Poda and using an analogy to explain in the absence of Me'achshav, it would be like giving a woman money for marriage and stating, I want you to be married to me after 30 days. And even if the money that was there originally is no longer present, she is considered married after 30 days. So that, and that was the parallel to someone vesting the animal with Ola Kedusha, though stating it should be a Shlomim after 30 days. No, the original Ola Kedusha will continue after the 30 days because he didn't use Me'achshav. So now the Gemara says, "Honicha lamadomar eino choizeres." The analogy that the original marriage takes effect at the 30-day mark. If you take the position, and there's a machlokes on this topic, there's a controversy on this topic, that analogy is effective, is true, if you say that the woman could not accept marriage from another man within the 30 days. Let's take a look at Rashi. If she were to accept marriage from a second man within the 30 days, she's not going to be considered married to that second guy. We can maintain the analogy that we had before, that original Kedusha will continue afterwards. Back to the Gemara. But according to the opinion in the marriage case, that the woman who was presented Kedushin with the proposition that it will take, that it will kick in after 30 days, and within the 30 days, her acceptance of Kedushin from another man would be effective, then how can that analogy be made? And we look again in Rashi. Elo lamad amar chayzeres shim d'omdo v'nizgatshi l'sheni b'so shloshim yoyim. If she were to accept kedushin from some other man within those 30 days, mikudeshes l'sheni, she would be considered married to that second fellow, the newcomer. Hechi motzi l'meimar, how can you say the chilo omar, that if he doesn't say me'achshav li'achar shloshim yoyim, that the original Ola Kedusha would continue. Here you see that that original Kedusha won't. It's interrupted by this second man coming on the scene. So now we go back to the Gemara. Afilu lamadomar hosam choseres. Even according to the opinion that says that in the case of the marriage, the woman could accept kiddushin from a second man if it's within those first 30 days. Hachashayni, here in the case of sacrifices, it's different. The amirasa legavah kemesirasa lehedyot. When you open your mouth and you say, I want it to be a shlomim, and you do not use the word me'achshav, and you simply say, and after 30 days, I want it to be an ola, a shlomim. Once you dedicated it as an ola, it's as if you gave it over to the Beis HaMikdash. We take a look at the Rashi, Tritz, where we left off. Rashi says, Tritz, afilu lamad omar choyzeres, afilu hochi hosam, ilo omar me'achshov me'ikora. In the case of the sacrifices, if he doesn't insert the term me'achshov, havi oilo li'achar shloshim yom, it will be an ola after 30 days. The amiras le'gavot, k'misras le'hedyot, v'keva domar me'achshov oila, v'lo'omar me'achshov shlomim, lo'poko b'chdi, lo'olam havi oila. Since he didn't actually say me'achshov oila, but he said, I want it to be an oila first. That's, as we saw before, that's the equivalent of saying me'achshov. And he didn't have the me'achshov expression with the shlomim. The original ola kedusha cannot expire with nothing. And therefore, because you're dealing with the realm of sacrifices, as we said before, amirasa legavar, your statement, your dedication to on high, to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Ribbono Shelolam, is as if you formally gave it over already. It's locked in. It's out of your control altogether. It's locked into that original kedusha of ola. Yosef, Rabbi Ovid, Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Kamei, Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Kamnanim, Rabbi Yirmiyah. You have Rabbi Ovid and Rabbi Yitzchok seated in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah is dozing off. Parenthetically, you can see sources in the Shas that their Torah learning shiurim started at the break of day, at dawn, and they would have the learning sessions, the shiurim, the lectures going for many, many hours. And for fatigue to set in at different points in such a dedicated, arduous learning schedule, this is only to be expected. So realize that this is after quite a long effort of learning, as we are suggesting. So you see Rav Yirmiyah dozing off. Yasvi v'kamri, and Ovin and Rav Yitzchok are saying as follows: Labar Pada di Omar Podon Chizrus v'kotchus. According to Bar Pada, that says that when you redeem the Netios, they become sanctified. And Bar Pada said, even after they're cut, even though the original sanctification was, I want them to be sanctified until they're cut. Bar Pada says that even after they're cut, there is the need for a further redemption. So, according to Bar Pada, Tifshot Deboi, we're at the top of Daf Lamed. Tifshot Deboi Rav Hoshaya. Let us use this information to conclude, to resolve a question that Rav Hoshaya asked. Rashi at the top line, Tifshot Deboi Rav Hoshaya, V'chulei Hochenami Hadab Kedishi, T'chihechi D'hosim Omar Lo, Li'achar Shagarshech, Shiyotze Samir Shuso. Rashi's referring to what we're going to see very shortly in the Gemara, to a man who said to a woman that I'm marrying you I'm presenting you with two coins, and with one coin you're married now, and the other coin I want you to be married to me after I divorce you. So at that point that he does divorce her, she leaves the husband's domain, shetis kadesh, that she should be automatically remarried. with that second coin. Nevertheless, even though the saplings left the realm of Kedusha, his sanctification was only until they're cut. Once they're cut, they're no longer sanctified. And yet, the sanctification kicks in automatically. And in order to undo that, you need a further redemption. So with that in mind, with Bar Pada's approach, we should be able to resolve this issue of Rav Hoshaya. Now, we use the Rashi simply as a platform for introducing the Gemara, and now we take a look in the Gemara itself. So let's resolve Rav Hoshaya's question. Hanoisen shtei prutos l'isha. A man gives two prutos, two coins to a woman, the Yomer lo, Biachas, and with one of the coins he says, Hiskachi li hayom, I want you to be married to me today. Uba'achas, and with the second coin he tells her, Hiskachi li la'achas shagar sheikh, I want you to be married to me, to be remarried to me after I divorce you. Hochenami dahava kiddushi, should we say, based on Bar Pada's analysis with the saplings after they're cut, that there is a need for redeeming them again. So to here, the second coin will cause her to be married again. We saw already in the Rashi, what's the point of analogy? In the case of the saplings, after they were cut, they left the realm of Kedusha. And yet, Kedusha automatically set into them again by virtue of the, and we see that by virtue of the fact that Bar Pada says you've got to redeem them again. So to this woman, she leaves the realm of marriage at the point she's divorced. She should be then automatically remarried because of receiving that second coin. In other words, the fact that in both cases there was a departure from the original domain, that doesn't mean that the original sanctity doesn't set in again. Isar Bahu Rav Yirmiyah. At this point, Rav Yirmiyah arouses from his dozing. Omar Lahu. He says to them, my ka medamisun, what are you doing comparing podonhu le podum achirim? We look in Rashi. Podonhu on the third line from the top. Hamakdish, the Makdish is the one that sanctified the plants. Kedem shenitzitzu, chayzrois ukedoshes le'achas shenitzitzu. When the original sanctifier is the one that is doing the redemption, they regain their kedusha after they were cut. Tahoil v'hu egdishon, since he is the one that sanctified them, afagav the chozeru padon, chozeros ukedoshos li'achar shenikzitzu. Even though he redeems them, they regain their kedusha after they are cut. Podum achirim, kedem shenikzitzu. Let's say outsiders came and redeemed these plants. Ein chayzros ukedoshos li'achas shenikzitzu. They do not regain their sanctity after they are cut. In other words, the Bar Pada's original din of the plants regaining their sanctity after they were cut is only in the case where the one to redeem them before they were cut was the original sanctifier. But if the one to redeem them before they were cut was some outsider, they don't regain their sanctity after they are cut. And the Rashi goes on, the isha shekonsa atzma beget midas atzma, the woman who had been married with the first coin and then divorced, she gains her own Bailus, she gains control over herself after she gets the get. She's in her own control. Ain cholin olel kedushin, the the marriage represented by that second coin will not kick in automatically. That is like the case of outsiders redeeming the plants. The Ein Chozros Ukedoshos. They don't become sanctified automatically again. Therefore, with regard to the woman, she doesn't become automatically remarried. So we continue in the Gemara once again. Rav Yirmiyah says, how are you comparing Bar Pados Din to the case of the woman? Thusly says Rav Yochanan, Podon hu chozros ukedoshos, where the original sanctifier is the one that redeems them before they were cut, they regain their sanctity. Podom achirim ein chozros ukedoshos. If outsiders have redeemed the saplings before they were cut, and then they are cut, they don't regain their sanctity. V'isha kibodua achirim damya. The case of the woman receiving the divorce document is like the case of the outsiders redeeming those plants. And as a result of that, the subsequent sanctity does not set in automatically. Itmar nami yom rabami yom rab yoichanan lo shana lo shepodon hu. The halacha of automatic sanctity setting in after they're cut is only if the original makdish is the one that redeemed them before they were cut. Avopodum achirim Ein chozros ukedoshos. However, if outsiders had redeemed the plants before they were cut, once they are cut, they do not become sanctified automatically. And hence, no need to further redeem them. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you are interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.